Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, so I thank God every day. Well, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the way, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, shadows of the alleys.
There was Jesus
in the fire and the floods.
There was Jesus
always is and always was. No, I never walked alone.
Listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I was just turning this off here because we don't want to get interrupted by phone calls during our service. So you never know when, you know, these things are going to go off. You can hear them ringing in church all the time, and they're kind of like part of the music program, aren't they? I guess somebody's always trying to get a hold of you, no matter where you're at or what you're doing. Like at home, when the phone rings, I always think it's going to be somebody I know. But it's almost always a telemarketer, more interested in getting my credit card number than interested in me. And they call constantly, don't they? they mispronounce your name terribly, and they've always got some kind of great deal for you. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hi, welcome to AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White, and bringing this message to you this week. And so before we get started, well, I've already got started, I know. But before we go on, let's stop, open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. If you'll join me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity once again to get together, even though we're still social distancing, we're still hunkered down at home, we're still having to stream live from our churches and not be with our congregations and like that. And just be with us, Lord. It's going to be a little bit longer. You know that the AULC congregation is a nursing home ministry, and it's going to be a while before the nursing homes and the assisted living facilities are going to be back open again to allow us back in. So here we are. We just ask, Lord, that you be with us today. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you've got to tell us. And just be with us, Lord, as we go through our service, where your scriptures tell us, where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be in our midst. We need that, Lord. We want you in our midst. We want you to shine your glory down in us and share your presence with us. And we just ask, Lord, you do that today. And be with us as we come together across the internet. And just be with us as we are worshiping today, praising and worshiping you. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this week comes from 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I've got my cell phone off. Everything is good. Nobody can call you or call me right now. If you got your cell phone off for the same reason, nobody can call you. But you know what? There's someone else all the time, other than telemarketers, someone else who is totally interested in you. Someone else who knows your name by heart, and someone who's got the best deal of all for you. God is the great and constant caller. He's inviting you and me and all of us to take advantage of a terrific offer. Somewhere deep down within our souls, our phone is ringing. Our soul phone is ringing. And we need to stop what we're doing and answer it. It's the Lord calling us to fulfillment and joy, to experience the very reason that we were born. Now, Max Lucado once said in one of his books, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And then, as I was reading in J. Oswald Sanders' classic work on spiritual leadership, I came across this paragraph. Often, truly authoritative leadership falls on someone who years earlier dedicated themselves to practice the discipline of seeking first the kingdom of God. Then, as that person matures, God confers a leadership role, and the Spirit of God goes to work through him. When God's searching eye finds a person qualified to lead, God anoints that person with the Holy Spirit and calls him or her to a special ministry. Now, I think the distinction that we sometimes miss is that God welcomes everyone into his family entirely by grace and on the basis of the blood of his Son Jesus without respect to any qualification in us. We're all welcome, every last broken one of us. And when it comes to leadership, God bestows influence and authority on those who have proven to be faithful stewards of smaller responsibilities. Okay, so if that's the reason I was made, then everything in me is tuned to be fulfilled by the presence of God, the love of God, and the service of God in this world. That desire for happiness, which we all have in us, is created to be a part, a living part of who we are, and is destined to be fulfilled eternally by the one who made us. Like the smell of fresh bread coming from the oven, the attraction to God is a call that's hard to resist. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, St. Augustine writes in Confessions, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you. Now, God's call is for everyone, but we often think that it may be for some and not for others. Now, as clergy, we sometimes hijack the whole idea of divine calling, appropriating it as our own, making ordained ministry or religious life the exclusive purpose of God's call. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that professional ministry is a wonderful, exciting, and satisfying occupation, but there are as many fulfilling vocations as there are people in the world. The prophet Isaiah wrote that God's word is like rain falling from the sky. It fills the air like TV channels, TV signals used to. Your television could have 100 channels, but God broadcasts over an infinite number of channels. And guess what? There's a station out there just right for you. Psalm 37:4 says, "Find your delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your hearts." I like to think of God's call in my life as the Me channel. Also, because many of the stories in the Bible about God's call involve the great heroes of salvation, people like Abraham and Moses, Peter and Mary, we sometimes think that a personal call from God is just a little beyond us. We like to imagine a kind of Cecil B. DeMille extravaganza with music by John Williams and a cast of thousands and someone who looks a lot like Charlton Heston. But Scripture reveals a somewhat different reality, doesn't it? Abraham and Sarah were childless, and they were really old, but God called them to be the parents of a great nation, with descendants as numerous as the stars. Can a 100-year-old man father a son? Abraham asked himself in Genesis 17:17. Or can Sarah, who is 90, have a baby? They both thought it was pretty funny and ended up naming their son Isaac, which means laughter. Now Moses had a speech impediment, and he was on the lam from Egypt, and he was wanted for murder. But God called him to return to Egypt, confront Pharaoh no less, and demand the release of his enslaved kinsmen. The Apostle Peter was a fisherman, but in all the gospel stories he never landed one single fish without divine intervention. When he finally caught a few, it was considered a miracle. And forget about his nautical skills there, because count the number of times his boat nearly sank. But the Lord called him to be a fisher of men and a captain of a great global ship called the church. St. Paul says that God calls the foolish of the world, the weak, the lowly, and the despised, so that no one can claim greatness before God. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, he says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." When God needed someone to be the mother of Jesus, the logical choice would have been a woman with lots of experience and a proven track record of good parenting. Instead, he calls Mary, who was a young and lowly person. She didn't have a husband. She conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and became a virgin mother, the embodiment of God's kingdom. So God's call is not just for the great, but reaches down into the lowliness of all humanity, into the humble lives of the ordinary people who do ordinary things, and they don't imagine that they're much importance at all in the plan of God. Think about it this way. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can overlook it when those who love you take it out on you, when through no fault of your own, something goes wrong, and if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can say honestly that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, then my friend, you are as almost as good as your dog. Think about that for a minute and let that soak in. Now, do you hear that right now? Your soul phone is ringing right now. God has a mission, a purpose for your life. It may be a call to ministry. It may be a call to retirement or to marriage or to corporate leadership. It may be a call to be a good salesperson or a good listener or a good homemaker or a good skateboarder. You may be called at any time to give in to someone else or to let go of a grudge, to offer a helping hand and accept someone else's help. God's call may be to public service. It might even be to basketball or to be a cook or a musician or a bus driver, to offer a comforting word to a harried checkout clerk, or to surrender a spot on the freeway to another driver, or to give away a well-earned day's pay to a poor family in need. Perhaps God is calling you right now to share a moment of blessed communion with the Lord, who is as near to you as your own body. The call of God is hardwired into us, written into our structure, woven into our humanity, programmed into our circuits. The Lord doesn't have to look up your number or my number in some celestial phone book just to give us a call. He's got each one of us on speed dial, and he's punching that button all the time. The call of God comes into every life, every moment of every day. A deeper experience of his infinite love and a more sublime and satisfying act of goodness in God's name. I came that you might have life, Jesus says in John 10:10, and have it to the fullest. Now, may I ask you a few questions about yourself? And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to offend you. But let me ask you a few questions. Are you a Phi Beta Kappa? Are you an All-American? Maybe a Miss America? Listed in Who's Who? Maybe you was voted most likely to succeed, or you're in the Blue Book of Society. If you answered yes to any of those questions, or even all those questions, I got great news for you. God can still use you, though he is going to have a little more difficulty doing it. But if, on the other hand, you've done or achieved none of those things that the world prizes so highly, God delights to use you. If you've never won anything except for the booby prize, God desires to get glory through you. As a matter of fact, he prefers to use ordinary people. You'll understand why I say all this when you read the following verses or hear the following verses I'm about to read. And they're crucial to our study of what it means to be a temple of the living God. Turn to your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It says this, "For ye see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and those which are not, to bring to naught things that are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 28. Before we look at why God has chosen to do things this way, we need to deal with a practical matter. Is it humility to say you're not capable of being used of God? No, that's an insult to the mighty God who inhabits your heart. Believers sometimes stand with drooping shoulders and with an apologetic voice, and they declare, "I just serve God in my poor little weak way." Whenever I hear that, I want to say, well, quit it. God does not want you to serve Him in that way. He wants you to serve Him in His mighty, dynamic way. You are a temple of God. He lives within you. He wants to display His glory in you. What some people call humility, I call poor posture. My question to people like this is, why should you be so inhibited when we are so inhabited? You've heard it said that our bodies are a temple. Someone asked me recently if I had added on a room to my temple, and I replied no. I decided not to build a temple, but to build a cathedral. You see, God has a wonderful plan. He is in the business of getting glory to Himself, and here's how He does it. He uses what the world calls a foolish message, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. He then chooses what the world considers to be a weak and unworthy messenger and compounds the two in the crucible of His mighty power and wisdom. He does this so that no flesh should glory in His presence. This way, the God who lives in the house gets all the glory, not the house. To serve God in this mighty army of the ordinary, there are some downright embarrassing qualifications. Let's see how close we come to being admissible here. First are the foolish ones. The word foolish that Paul used comes from the Greek word moros. It's even the word which we get our word moron from. It denotes someone who is dull, sluggish, or perhaps even somewhat silly. So you weren't at the top of your class. Big deal. You don't hold any PhD degree. Okay, does this mean you cannot be used? To the contrary, God is looking to someone just like you. Relationship is more important than a scholarship. Next are the weak ones. This word means physical weakness, even infirmity. Are you feeling weak and sickly? Well then, congratulations. God is willing to do mighty things with and through your frail body. His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Now comes the base ones. This word means of lowly birth, ignoble, without pedigree. Perhaps you're not from the aristocracy. You were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and maybe you're a mutt. Okay, maybe not. Praise God, though. He delights to use those who were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Don't let what the world may consider your social inferiority keep you from serving Him. God also delights to use the despised ones. This word means those whom the world writes off as of no account. It means those who are treated with contempt and scorn. Do others look down on you and say you'll never amount to anything? Well, then that's terrific. That means that when God does use you, it will be obvious to all around that He is the one who is doing it, and He therefore will get the glory. Last of all, there are those who are not. This refers to people who are completely overlooked. They don't even get to be despised. They're not even considered good enough to be despised. They're not listed in who's who. They're not even listed in who's not. Am I by any chance talking about you? Your name is never listed in the church bulletin. When people talk, your name is not even discussed, either for good or for evil. Do you consider yourself a nobody? Well, with God, everybody is a somebody. He's looking for someone like you. Your name may not even be mentioned much down here, but God wants you to make headlines in heaven. There are the kinds of ordinary people God delights to use. Now let me make three things clear concerning God's plan to use his people. First, God does not say that no one who is mighty or noble is called. He just says, not many of the world's elite will submit themselves to him. And I thank God for those wealthy, gifted intellectuals who know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul himself used to be one of these. This gifted aristocrat had one of the most titillating minds of all time. He was sought after, flattered, praised by his peers. He had achieved the highest positions in the religious world and had an impeccable academic pedigree. Yet Paul said concerning these achievements, he says, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The second thing that I want to emphasize about spiritual qualifications is this. Paul is not encouraging half-heartedness, laziness, or mediocrity. If you're a preacher or a teacher with only an average IQ, that just means you got to study all the more. There was a preacher in Pennsylvania who was a noted expert fox hunter. An old Quaker said to him one day, if I were a fox, I would hide where thee could not find me. And where is that? Inquired the preacher. The Quaker replied, in thy study. You may be a singer with less than a great voice, but still it ought to be your ambition to make that voice sing the sweetest note it can sing for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have great strength, but the most important thing is that you have nerve, fiber, bone, and sinew in your body. Be given over completely to the Lord Jesus. Let him have every ounce and every inch. It has been well said, it doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian, just all there is of him. Third, remember that Paul is not talking about relying upon our own strength anyway. The secret of the whole matter is that God gives to ordinary people extraordinary power. He gave himself for us in order that he might give himself to us and therefore live his life through us. The issue is not so much our responsibility as it is our response to his ability. One dark night outside a small town, a fire started inside a local chemical plant. Before long, it exploded into flames, and an alarm went out to the fire departments from miles around. And after fighting the fire for over an hour, the chemical company president approached the fire chief and says, all of our secret formulas are in the vault in the center of the plant. They must be saved. I will give $50,000 to the engine company that brings them out safely. As soon as the chief heard this, he ordered the firemen to strengthen their attack on the blaze. After 2 more hours of attacking the fire, to no avail, the president of the company upped his offer to $100,000 to the engine company that could bring the company's secret files out. From the distance, a long siren was heard and another fire truck came into sight. It was a local volunteer fire company. It was composed entirely of men over the age of 65. To everyone's amazement, the little fire engine raced through the chemical plant gates and drove straight in the middle of the inferno. In the distance of the other firemen watching on as these old-timers hopped off of their rig and began to fight the fire with an effort they had never even seen before. After an hour of intense fighting, the volunteer company had extinguished the fire and saved the secret formulas. Joyous, the chemical company president announced that he would double the reward to $200,000 and walked over to personally thank each of the volunteers. After thanking each of the old men individually, the president asked the group what they intended to do with the reward money. The fire truck driver looked him right in the eye and said, well, the first thing we're going to do is fix the brakes on that old truck. In his providence, God can turn our weaknesses into strength and use us mightily. He simply calls us to follow his lead courageously. Now you may be thinking this is a nice sermon, but it further demonstrates that I will never amount to anything. Even though I'm chosen by God, included in His plan, I still feel like a nobody. If you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. I want to assure you that God has you right where He wants you. If you feel average, weak, and foolish, God can use you. Those people that He has used the most are those that have plenty of sin and weakness. Noah was rejected from society, but yet he built an ark for 120 years and never converted anybody. Abraham offered to share his own wife with another man, not once, but twice. Joseph was ostracized by his dysfunctional family and now possesses a prison record. Moses, he was a modest and meek man, but he was a poor communicator, even stuttering at times. He was also a murderer. David had an affair with his neighbor's wife, murdered her husband just so he could avoid charges. Elijah was prone to depression and collapses under pressure. Jeremiah is emotionally unstable. He's alarmist, negative, and always lamenting things. Hosea took a wife who became a prostitute. Peter was aggressive. He was a hot-tempered fisherman and a loose cannon who denied Christ. Ordinary people of faith can do extraordinary things for God. If they eliminate self-esteem and put on Christ's esteem, God chooses those that have nothing to brag about except for Him. William Lamartine Thompson, he was born in 1847 until 1909. He was born in Pennsylvania. His family moved to East Liverpool, Ohio, which is near the Pennsylvania border. While he was still quite young, his father was a successful merchant and also served in the Ohio legislature for a time. Now, Thompson showed an early interest in music and had written several songs before finishing high school. Now, in those days, not many people were privileged to go to college, but Thompson graduated from the Alliance College, which was in Alliance, Ohio. He came out with a degree in business. He later graduated from the New England Conservatory of Music, as well as studying music in Leipzig, Germany. Now, as a young man, Thompson sent a package of 4 songs to a publisher, asking payment of $100 for the whole package of 4. The publisher responded with a counteroffer of $25, which Thompson declined. Now, $100 in 1875 was the equivalent of $1,800 in 2007, according to WestEgg.com. Now, when he couldn't get what he considered to be a fair price for his music, Thompson decided to go into business for himself. He started a music store in East Liverpool in association with his father's business and another outlet in Chicago. Then he went into the mail order business, selling sheet music and music books. Now, keep in mind, Thomas Edison didn't invent the phonograph until 1877. Thompson turned out to have a considerable business acumen, in part due to his father's influence and in part due to his undergraduate business degree. He marketed his music in part by sending copies to various minstrel shows, which were popular at the time, and he may have paid some of them to sing his music, which was a legitimate form of advertising. He quickly became successful and was known as the Millionaire Bard of Ohio. He wrote one of the most popular songs, Gathering Seashells on the Seashore, in 10 minutes, and it sold 246,000 copies. Thompson was a Christian, and while attending a Dwight L. Moody evangelistic meeting, decided to devote himself to writing and promoting Christian music. He wrote Softly and Tenderly, Jesus' Calling, in 1880. It quickly became popular as a hymn of invitation in evangelistic meetings and was soon incorporated into church hymnals as well. Thompson wrote Jesus is All the World to Me in 1904, and it became quite popular as well. He was as successful with Christian music as he had been earlier with secular music. I'm told that he sold 2 million books of quartet music. Dwight L. Moody, the most famous evangelist of his day, used Softly and Tenderly as an invitation hymn to his meetings. Thompson visited Moody as the latter was dying, and Moody told him, "Will, I would rather have written Softly and Tenderly Jesus' Calling than anything I have been able to do in my life." That's quite a tribute from someone as accomplished as Moody. Even though he became quite rich, Thompson continued to live a life of service. He supported various civic and religious activities generously. He also was aware of the fact that small-town people had very little exposure to good music, so he loaded a piano on a horse-drawn wagon and went through the small Ohio towns giving concerts of his music. Thompson became ill on a trip to Europe in 1909 and died shortly thereafter. So next time that you hear your soul phone ringing, don't let it go to voicemail. Answer it. Remember that God is calling you, not because you are qualified, but because He's already qualified you. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Now stay tuned for a few more minutes for a great music video featuring Softly and Tenderly, as done by Jimmy Fortune. And then plan to come back next week for our Father's Day service. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words today, because surely somebody out there needed to hear them. And we hope, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they heard this message, whether it was live, whether it was during the broadcast, whether it was on a repeat, that they was watching the video later on, the recorded video. And we just ask, Lord, that their hearts was opened and their eyes and their ears was opened as well to what you had to say. We ask that you put a hedge of protection around each of us, Lord. Keep us safe from the coronavirus and other deals and tribulations that we've got. And just be with us each and every day. Bless us and keep us. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week. Be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching. We hope to see you all next week. Thank you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See, on the portals He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Pardon for you and
Thank you.